can't wait to talk about Cynthia Rothrock.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I did not come up with anything for the intro of this thing. Chris, could you just say for me, ho, 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 it's the first ever B-Movie Mania Christmas in July special.
Ho, ho, ho! It's the first ever B-Movie Mania Christmas in July special! Ho, 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 ho!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
Good evening, boys and girls. Welcome, as Chris Hudson just said, to our first ever B-Movie Mania Christmas in July special. It's July. Some fireworks are probably going off outside. But we're feeling very festive. We wanted to get into the Christmas spirit. We watched a movie to do that, to celebrate the season.
And Mike decided to relocate himself to a war zone.
Yeah, sorry, those weren't fireworks, those were missiles.
I'll get us back into the spirit with a nice Christmas tree-shaped wipe. Just imagine there's a wipe right across the screen, and now we're back on track.
Nice.
Yes, very, very good. Well, that's Jason Hulls right there.
Bell wipe.
you already said your intro.
I'm still doing the wipes.
Chris Hudson.
If I were a magic eight ball, all signs point to hello. Thought I'd be have a nice fun greeting for once.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Mike Hayes, do you have a fun greeting for our first ever Christmas in July special?
Hi, Paul. Thanks for setting this up. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, see, that actually is fun.
Yay!
And yes, I'm Paul Brooks, your host for the evening. Feeling a little bit weird about that because I was host for the most recent episode of B-Movie Mania, our Ben and Arthur special.
Great episode, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Oh, loved
fun,
it.
Fun
thank
stuff.
Thank you very much. But look, here's the deal, folks. Before we get into our proper review of the episode, I do want to mention a couple things. Chris, I understand that tomorrow you are getting your second vaccine shot. Is that correct?
I am. I will not only be immune to COVID from now on, but also to all sorts of man-made diseases released from laboratories across the world.
Like 1313 movies.
Like 1313 movies. I am immune to all of those. Any movie with that damn house from a talking cat? Not a problem anymore.
I need that fucking vax then, man. I got a different one. I got this Johnson & Johnson shit, and it has not made me immune to that mansion.
Well, it's all the blood clots. They're just bursting out of your head.
Yeah, not only does Johnson & Johnson evidently give, like, one person in 7 million a blood clot, but also I think that house that this movie takes place in can also give you blood clots at a much higher rate.
So that's why it got torn down. Okay.
Yeah,
Too many blood clots.
This movie is a blood clot.
The other thing that I wanted, Chris, very happy to hear that you'll be fully vaccinated tomorrow. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I think that makes all of us, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe so.
So that's very cool. Very cool.
Very nice.
Which is why we were able to, just a couple weeks ago, have our 9th annual 24-hour B-Movie Marathon. Hope you guys enjoyed that. That was special that we could all get back together for that.
Yeah, and we should thank all of our recent followers that we met through that.
Absolutely. Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show.
And for everyone who watched along on the internet, I just want to apologize for the state of my house, what everyone did in my house.
Sorry.
Well, at least they couldn't smell it.
Yeah. I wish he would have cleaned up before we got there.
I know. Well, I was just hoping that everyone could smell the place before.
I remember, if I may, just briefly, I remember what it was, two or three marathons ago. We show up to a clean hotel room. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Yep.
We show up to a clean hotel room. It smells like a clean hotel room. It's beautiful.
It's that, it had that new hotel room scent.
It did. Chris Hudson walks through the door with about 50 Hooters hot wings. It sits down before the marathon even starts. And that just, let's just say that set the tone for the whole weekend.
Yeah. You know, really, this marathon is all about how you set the tone and prepare yourself for the next 24 hours. And 50 Hooters wings was...
That'll do the trick.
What did it for me that year?
Oh, man.
Speaking of stinking up the joint, I'm getting a colonoscopy tomorrow. So
nice. Yeah, wow.
That is the other reason that we decided to record tonight, because I might be a little bit out of commission for the next day or two. You know, I have sort of a prep situation that I've been having to do for this colonoscopy that I have scheduled for tomorrow morning. It hasn't been a ton of fun. Jay, I know you've been through one yourself. I don't know if you want me to cut that out or not.
Paul,
well,
cut
it's
that
funny,
out.
Paul, that you say that, because my doctor also recommended I watch this movie the day before I had it.
Wow. Makes a lot of sense.
It'll do the trick. But there's a very good chance that since I'm doing this prep tonight, that I'm going to have to run to the bathroom with zero notice whatsoever. So I worked out a little situation, and if I have to leave suddenly, we have a special guest here with us tonight who is going to be taking over as what I'm calling the second string host for the evening, to borrow a football terminology.
Okay.
Everyone, please welcome the one, the only... It's Cringe Crinkle. Hello, Cringe.
Oh! Season's creamings, everybody!
You get a little Hudson cough there.
Thanks for having me on here. I hope you all have your eggnog tobacco that you can just chuck into your lip there. And
not a thing. Okay.
Oh, Season's creamings indeed.
I hope Cringe Crinkle has his malort.
Oh,
there it is.
There it is.
God.
Oh, he's drinking it.
Oh, it tastes like the belly of an otter after you've shit on it. Oh, one of my favorite Christmas in July pests. Oh, I'm so...
Okay, so...
Season's creaming.
So, Cringe, again, you are the second string host for this evening.
Yeah.
It's entirely... You know, it's entirely possible that we might not need you. So just, we will let you know. You don't have to say anything. Maybe for the rest of the show, we will let you know when we need you, okay?
Okay, I'm here for you boys, whatever you need it.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul, by the sounds of it, do you have a third string set just in case we need it?
What a zinger. Okay, I'll stand over here. Oh, Season's creaming.
God damn it.
Just creaming everywhere.
Season's creaming everywhere.
Okay, again, Cringe. Thank you. Santa's Summer House, I don't think we've said it yet, is the name of the movie that we reviewed for this special episode. 2012 film directed by Mr. David Ducoutur, who obviously listeners of the show will recognize from a plethora of hits, including 1313 UFO Invasion, which we have done before on this show, and also A Talking Cat.
And viewers of this movie will also recognize the house and its decor.
Of course. Why is that, Chris?
Hashtag Driftwood stripper boots.
Mm. I'm just curious. I know that I watched this on Amazon Prime. Mike, I believe you watched it on Amazon Prime as well.
Yeah.
Chris, Jay, how about you guys? Chris, where
Amazon
did you watch
Amazon Prime.
This?
Yep. I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't.
No one did Rift Tracks?
Rift Tracks did not lessen the blow for me.
Huh.
We don't want to watch somebody. We want the full effect, man.
So you rented this?
It was a poor decision we've made. I bought it. Fuck you.
I'm sorry to everybody.
Quick takes.
My case.
Well, Paul, to quit.
Take two. My case.
Paul, leave that in. Well, Paul, to quote Thane Furrows, he was very unenjoyable.
Okay, you know what? That quick take was capable. It was very capable. Chris Hudson.
Well, to paraphrase my opening, Santa's Summer House was... horrible.
Oh, I heard my friend Santa Chris. Oh, okay, bye. Bye.
You got the house to yourself tonight, Chris?
Nope.
Okay.
Is that where Cringe Crinkle is?
Is he hanging out over there?
He might be. I picked up some drifters tonight, so.
Yeah, he sounds like a drifter.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Jason Hills.
If I see this house in one more pick for this podcast, I am going to scream.
That's fair. That is very fair. If it's any consolation, I don't think you're going to see this movie, this house in any movie past 2014, probably. So that's, you know.
That means nothing for this podcast.
That's true.
I would like to see a CGI recreation of this house that we can see in movies forever. I want to see it in a Star Wars movie. It's Sheev Palpatine's apartment.
I hope just like they did a full 3D scan of the Battlestar Galactica set before they tore it down.
Yeah.
I hope they did that with the 1313 mansion.
Do VR, put on my VR headset and then just get into the house.
We get like a group. They're in a van. They're going somewhere. There's some narration.
Yeah, okay. Wait a minute. Narration. Hey, here's an idea. Let's make the guy who's not in the movie narrate the movie.
No, they did. Andy's the narrator, and he's in the movie. It's Mike the driver.
No, he's not the narrator. Mike's the narrator.
What?
No.
You know what? You can tell that I really paid close attention to this movie.
No, I thought that too, Jay, but on second viewing, I realized that Andy, or whoever the kid is the narrator, and they're showing the driver, Mike, while Andy is narrating. It makes no sense.
You're sure about that?
Yeah.
Why would you watch this twice?
Because I had to do notes the second time around. I'm not happy about it, trust me.
My name is Andy, and this van is taking my folks and me and some other people to a resort near Pismo Beach, which is on the coast between Los Angeles and the Bay Area. And our driver, Mike, said he knows every back road in the area.
So they get lost in a fog. I don't know how.
Christmas fog.
This is fog, and it happens.
Wait. No, even better. You don't even see the fog. This is purely a narrative construct. You get a voiceover about a fog, but you never see it.
Fog is very expensive to do CG for.
It's not one of the basics you get out of any sort of motion animation software trials.
Well, to be fair, Andy comes across as a little naive, and maybe he doesn't know what fog actually is.
Perhaps.
But doesn't he say fog?
He says fog, like he's aware of the concept, okay, but he's never experienced it.
It's his mind's conception of what fog might be.
Yeah. He's heard stories from, about San Francisco, but he's stuck down here in Los Angeles in the Southern California area. He doesn't quite know what it is.
And that's Mike. At least he thought he knew every back road, because we drove through this really super strange patch of fog. And when we finally came out of it, Mike was totally lost.
But they ended up at the 1313 mansion, which we all know and love, because they get lost.
Strong words.
And,
they get lost.
They gotta ask for directions and all this shit. But let's talk a little bit about everyone who we see here. Let's talk about the cast, because this is a who's who, really, of sort of 80s and 90s action stars. Mike, what's the issue there?
No, I just would like, personally, I'd like you to read off all the names and I'll tell you which ones suck.
I think Chris wants to do it.
Well, you get Gary Daniels, who was in our first season episode, Fist of the North Star.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, is he the Fist of the North Star?
He was. He was the Fist of the North Star, yeah.
I see it now.
Yeah. You get 80s and 90s action superstar Cynthia Rothrock.
Who I have to say, it's a little bit of a shame that we haven't featured her more on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
She's awesome.
And then, so Gary Daniels plays Andy's father, but his mother is also played by a 5-time martial arts champion, Kathy Long.
Wow. 5 times.
She sucks.
5 times.
She's
not personally, none of these people personally, but I'm just listing the characters that suck.
Ah.
And then Brian, the physicist off to visit the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or JPL.
Best actor in the movie.
Best actor in the movie.
And, double sucks.
And he played, he was like Agent Johnson or something in the Matrix movies.
Yep.
And he's in the first John Wick movie. And yeah, every one of these guys could kick a lot of ass.
You gotta be kidding me. An hour van ride through Backhouse Twistorama and this isn't the right place?
No, this isn't the resort. This is, I don't know what this place is. I should know. I have no idea.
Are you having an episode or are you just simple?
Oh, and then Pop is played by Chris Mitchum or something.
Thank you. I was going to say, did you finish the list or not?
Hey, close enough.
He's all right.
Yeah.
You forgot Molly.
Yeah, there's Molly and Connie.
And Connie.
Molly's cool. Connie's a fucking idiot. She sucks.
Yeah.
Christopher Mitchell, we should mention, is the son of very famous actor Robert Mitchum.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Our cast of characters here, they decide that they're going to stay, hang out for a little while at 1313 Mansion because Cynthia Rothrock, a.k.a. Nana, says, hey, why don't you guys just chill here for a little bit?
You all look so exhausted. Why don't you just get your things from the van and come in and freshen up a bit? And then Mike can go find the resort and give me a call when he gets back.
I do need to use the facilities.
We should point out they decide to stay here for the weekend because they're very confused about why they can't find the resort and why their driver, Mike, can't find the resort. So she says to stay and pushes her cookies on them.
Oh, yeah.
And forces them to take a cookie.
Whoa, wait a minute. Mm. Is this like a red pill thing, Jay?
just saying.
Hey, one of these guys was in the Matrix.
So Mike leaves to go find the resort, and he does, and calls them. She also gives him a card that says Mrs. Claus on it.
Right.
I have a card for you, Mike.
I appreciate you helping me out. I'll call you as soon as... This is you?
Drive safe, Mike. I'll have some cookies for you when you get back.
There's no insinuation here. Like, for sure, she's Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, but they don't come right out and tell the rest of the group. Only Mike, he's the only one who knows.
Right. And then the van breaks down at the resort. And I was wondering why no one just called a cab to go to the resort.
My assumption is that the resort is still quite a ways away and it would be an expensive cab or Uber ride.
That and the only cab company Pop has the phone number to is actually a reindeer service.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, them calling a cab, Jay, also would require some sort of level-headed logic and reason to be applied.
You're right.
Which You're right. is non-existent in the rest of the film. So it would just be awkward to be in there at this point.
You know what? Just pretend there's a wipe going across your screen in the shape of a stocking. We're done with that. Okay, let's just go on.
Jay, I appreciate you saying that because tonight on the show we have some drinking rules. Drinking rules! Lloyd Kaufman does our intro for that, not you, Cringe Crinkle.
Sorry!
For this movie, drink every time there's a Christmas clip art scene wipe.
Oh, God.
Yes.
It is clip art. It's like Windows 95 clip art. It
happens
there.
Enough to get you tipsy, and then what's going to put you over the edge... Per usual, with every David Duchovny movie, drink every time there's an establishing shot of the mansion.
Oh, nice.
And you're good to go.
Can I add one? Because I did have one in my notes that's a little different.
Sure.
If you really want to send yourself to the hospital.
Oh, no.
Drink every time someone mentions dinner.
Oh, really?
Mm. Oh, it's every conversation. It's constant.
Hey, Pop. Dinner's ready. I'm sure our guests want to meet you.
Coming, dear.
Is it more than all of the legends on Legends House talking about what's for dinner on WWE Network?
You know, it's funny that you say that because I hadn't thought about that at all.
Well, Jay, here's the thing. No one has.
Yeah. It's a lot. Like, they're constantly eating. They're constantly talking about making dinner, preparing dinner, cleaning up from dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole movie.
Well, I mean, and you've got a whole subplot about Connie trying to get the recipe to the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm. If you want to call it a subplot, yeah, it's there.
So if they're not talking about dinner, they're talking about those delicious chocolate chip cookies.
Red pill cookies,
all right. Baby.
I got to get up.
Send me to Santa Land.
Cringe, Crinkle.
Cringe,
you want to talk about us meeting Pop here for the first time? I got to go.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Good luck in there. Well, boys, you're mine now.
Wow.
What are you going to do with us, Cringe?
Just let's talk about the movie.
Sorry I didn't introduce myself sooner, but I had a call at the workshop I had to take care of. Even in the off-season, there could be challenges. So, how is everyone doing?
Good.
Good.
Well, I hope we show you a good time. Oh, my name's Pop.
So what kind of a guy is this Pop Claus? Is he like me? A good, jolly fellow?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
He's a nice guy.
These people have been on the naughty list for a little too long, and they could really use a Christmas win in July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. I do love the naughty list myself, but I get it that some don't.
This is turning into like a diseased Pat from SNL.
Yes. Oh, season's creaming's a Pat, now wherever you are.
Yes, all these characters have very surfacey, weak character flaws that they need to get fixed. Oh, Paul's got some of his mixture, his season's creaming's mixture. It's going to send all the cream right through him.
Yes.
Well, they drink a lot of lemonade in this movie, and that's what I've got tonight.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know
like,
this.
Every scene in the beginning when they get to the house, someone's drinking lemonade.
Yes, Nana Claus does have a lot of her special lemonade she gives to all of the naughty children.
All right, okay. Yeah. I'm back.
Okay, he's out of here now.
Okay,
Paul's
good
back.
Goodbye.
One thing about this movie, the big... I hesitate to say, like, plot device, but I guess you say plot device. They decide to do, like, a Christmas exchange.
A white elephant.
Yeah, they're all gonna... they don't have anything, but they're gonna give each other something.
Well, if we're going to have a special meal, maybe we should make it a special night.
What do you have in mind, Pop?
Well, everyone seems to have Christmas on their mind. Why don't we exchange gifts? Put names in the hat.
And they give great gifts. Oh, my God.
Do they?
Gary Daniels throws the croquet game for his wife?
That's my favorite. I mean, what a great gift to give your wife. throw the match and make her feel like a dipshit.
Yeah. Well, the idea is to come up with something creative, you know, because, well, I don't know. This is not a Christmas movie. It takes place in the middle of summer. So they could have gone somewhere to get something if they really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
If the fog let them out.
If the fog let them out.
And speaking of games, playing little games like this white elephant, they do, if we could just mention, play croquet as a group. It's like, that's supposed to be the bonding moment in the film, is they all play croquet together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you got to talk about what this is.
It's 12 minutes long of horse shit!
Nana, what's all this?
Just a few people that expressed an interest in a spirited game of croquet.
No, I didn't.
Ryan.
Right. Where's my racket?
There's 12 minutes where they all fucking improv fuck around because they play like 10 real games in real life, and David just films them like, I don't know, like, what, but it's awful, and they all make words out of their mouths that are bad, and then they hit the balls around, and it's stupid, and it's fucking 12 literal minutes long.
Well, this is a serious game of croquet. I mean, they play for some really high stakes. Doing the dishes after dinner.
Dinner.
Yep.
Mike, I don't want to, discredit you or anything here, but I actually ran my stopwatch on my iPhone the second time around to time the croquet
scene.
11 minutes and 26 seconds.
Wow.
You didn't count when they start, when he sets it up and explains it.
I started like when he whips his head around for Cynthia Rothrock showing up. So like, yeah, it was a little bit longer.
Think about all of the things you can accomplish in 12 minutes. Think if you got in your car right now, you walked out the front door, you got in your car, how far you could go in 12 minutes. Especially you, Paul.
Yeah.
You could go far.
I could go to the McDonald's in South Bloomington.
You could. You could do so much in that amount of time that you spend watching them play croquet in this movie. It's mostly, I think it's almost all quiet too, right? Like, there's not much dialogue.
A lot.
I mean, there's
just
some
improv-ing.
Laughing and giggling and talking about bullshit.
All right, next. Hey, Nick.
All right, my turn. That's right.
All right.
We can look that out of the way.
From here.
You know what? You go first for us, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, Brian.
What happens when you get busted?
In another movie, you might start laughing and being like, how long is this going to go on? Oh my goodness, it's still happening. Ha 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 ha. But at no point do you go ha 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 ha. You just throw your remote across the room because fuck Paul for picking this fucking movie.
Oh, yes. There was a moment where I believe Mike was the first one to start watching this movie after it got announced. And at some point in our little group chat, I just looked down and saw Mike had said, fuck you, Paul.
It was during this. It was like during the middle of this goddamn thing. Pretty sure.
I believe it.
Your mom watched this with you, right, Paul?
Yeah, I somehow convinced my mom to watch this with me, yes.
What did she think of the croquet scene?
You know what she thought of the croquet scene.
We'll post the photo.
Yes. My poor mother literally had to look down from the TV, look away from the TV for 12 minutes because the camera work on this... The camera work is not good throughout the entire film, but during the croquet scene, it's so... You know, everything is improv, so David Ducoteau is probably running the camera or somebody else, and it's nauseating. So she was literally getting dizzy and had to look away from the TV.
You know, I wrote in my notes, 8 minutes into the montage, Dean pretends that he's going to kill his wife with the croquet mallet.
I saw that.
And I felt a little bit of jealousy.
What? Oh, you wish you could kill the wife, too?
Or be me get hit with the croquet mallet.
He was jealous of the wife.
Oh, I see. That makes more sense.
Through, right. To the right.
To the center, right.
To the far post.
Come back.
To the right.
Okay, and then to the right.
Our left. Center. Here.
Holy cow.
And back.
I have to do all that?
You mentioned that this guy is a dickbag, you know, all this kind of stuff. But there are very few... characters that you don't wish were just dead.
Hey, I liked Molly.
She was sweet. Did you see Molly's photography?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
She's pretty good. She's very talented. The thing is, this follows the classic Christmas trope, I guess, that the kids are the only ones who can see good stuff, and all the adults have their problems and drama, except all these adults are... It's not just dad works too much. It's dad's trying to kill mom with the croquet while they're supposed to be having family fucking time.
I actually thought I might take some pictures. Come on, Molly, give it a rest. We've got a huge fall season coming up and I need your help.
I know, Connie,
but... Yeah, we have a responsibility to mom and dad's dream. I can't do it by myself. And you going off on some pipe dream thinking you're gonna make a living as a photographer is just crazy.
the older sister of Molly just sandbags her constantly because Molly wants to be a take photos, and her older sister just keeps telling her she's bad at it and she can't do it and it's irresponsible for her to do it, and Connie's to shut her goddamn mouth up.
Mike, but you've got to understand though. I mean, Constance is really concerned about the success of their parents' catering business. I mean, she's got a lot of great ideas and really wants it to succeed. And if Molly weren't slacking off, taking pictures of all kinds of bullshit, then their catering business could totally take off.
Chris, did you just bump your fancy new mic stand?
I did.
Okay. Listener, if you heard that, that's what happened.
I get animated when I talk about these things, and my hands just go all over. Also, my penis.
It bumped balls and penis.
My balls and penis bumped my mic stand.
Speaking of that, stop being such a crank and throw her a biscuit.
I hope someone worked that in here somewhere.
My favorite line of the movie.
I try being a bit less strident and a tad more affectionate. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about, do you?
You mean stop being such a crank and throw her a biscuit.
We're going through a lot of stuff here, but I do want to mention that at some point, we do get an appearance from the world-famous Driftwood stripper boots.
Yes!
Gotta point that out. As seen in A Talking Cat, as seen in probably every 1313 movie. Yeah.
Its kind of role is fairly limited in this one, though.
Fairly,
A little disappointed.
It is, but it is probably the most like life-filled role and character in the film, so that's pretty good.
It's interesting that it's in Santa Claus's house.
It really says something if the Driftwood statue is the least wooden character.
There it is.
That's what Mike was trying to say.
Yeah.
Other thing that I wanted to point out is that the curling world championships are on.
Oh, you mean God. The broom puck game?
Broom puck, yes.
And I love these modern conveniences. Curling world championships are on today. Do you like curling?
Broom puck. It's what I called it when I was a kid.
Oh, I see.
So does anybody have anything that they want to say before we literally just skip to the Big Santa reveal?
I do.
Okay.
I have...
Shocker.
I would like to say one more thing that would make this dumb movie better.
Okay.
If the hunks from 1313 UFO Invasion still wandered the halls.
Yeah,
and
there
no one addresses it.
Guys?
Adam?
And no one addresses it.
Adam?
No one acknowledges it. They're just wandering around aimlessly.
Guys.
In their whitey tighties.
Guys?
Well, it is weird. I have heard them in the background occasionally throughout the entire episode. It's weird.
Oh, God damn you, Mike. Because you know I'll do it.
Oh, that's great.
Adam?
Paul, what I have to pay you, Paul, to edit together this film with 1313 Alien Invasion?
No. That's the answer, no.
Just layer them on top of each other with the transparency so we just see them exactly.
Yeah, maybe
what happens.
It's like a Pink Floyd Wizard of Oz thing.
Well, ooh, listen, yeah. when I say no, $300 would probably do it.
I'm just curious. I'm not going to make you do it. But
I do not make much money right now. So the Santa reveal. Mike, let's talk about this.
Well, Santa decides to convince everyone he is the Santa Claus by giving them creepy letters from when they were children. He gives all the adults, all the kids too, right?
Well, actually, credit where credit is due, Mike. It's kind of Nana's idea in a way.
I know you're not going to give up on people here, nor anywhere else.
But if I could just find a way to convince them.
Well, you said it yourself. If children are more accepting, perhaps you just need to find the child in each one of them.
This is probably the best, like, plot point.
Yeah, it would be.
If it didn't take so goddamn long to get through.
It is, yeah. The problem is he gives it to everyone, and they're all individual scenes instead of, like, just some big reveal to the group or something, or We see the whole goddamn conversation reveal through every fucking character.
This is my letter.
Yes, it is, Andy.
That's Andy's handwriting. That's the actual letter. I remember when he wrote that, he was just so proud.
How do you have that? How is that even possible?
Andy, please go on reading.
There's something that could make this dumb movie better.
Yeah, there is.
And that thing is, if all the letters that Santa gave to the gang to read were actually some of Paul's erotic fan fiction.
Ooh. Yep.
I'm with that.
It would be totally better.
You know, and another thing would be is if in the horror movie version, if Santa gives them their letters and that somehow helps them escape the evil Santa fog, you know, in the horror movie.
Santa fog! You could work egg fog in there, too. I don't know.
Egg
maybe.
Fog? Nice.
Jay, you remember when you couldn't remember the name of this movie and you thought that it was actually called Santa's Summer Camp?
Yeah.
And then we decided that we were going to make that movie since no one has made it?
I think we're writing it right now.
There we
After
go.
After we finish Santa's Summer Camp, we're going to do Santa Fog.
Maybe Santa that's the Fog? Sequel.
Yeah, maybe we'll just work those two ideas together somehow.
I like this a lot.
Oh, easy. Santa's Summer Camp is a fun summer movie, right, with Santa Claus. Right. But, like, Crystal Lake is the sequel. It's a horror version, Santa Fog. It takes place in the same campground. There's a child that drowned in the lake or something.
Or an elf.
In the eggnog, Mike.
In the eggnog! He drowned in a pool of eggnog! Because the water tower that holds the camp's clean water in it is actually filled with eggnog. Is it Santa's camp?
And somehow the nog fog emanates from the tower.
The nog fog! The nog fog!
Hey, by the way... Since this is kind of a Christmas special, if you haven't seen the Drunk Movie Reviews Christmas special of Mike spilling eggnog all over himself in the first 30 seconds, we'll go ahead and put a link down below that.
It was a cumbersome cup.
You were drunk and putting on a sweater and you knocked into it.
It didn't have a good base.
Oh, yeah. It's the basis problem.
It's the basis problem.
I want the business to succeed, and I want you to succeed. And I want to help you. I love you, Connie. Mom and Dad would be so proud of you.
All of the drama and all of the problems that we've been talking about here is essentially fixed through Santa, a.k.a. Pop, you know, showing these people the letters from their childhood and making them sort of realize, you know, whatever, what they've lost or who they used to be. It fixes all the shit, okay? It fixes the shit. And then Santa gives everyone new headshots and credits.
Yes.
Yeah, yep.
Yes. We did it.
We did it. Rating time. I can't believe it.
Rating time.
I'm going to do something for rating time that I, to my knowledge, has never been done on this show before. I am going to assign each of you a unique rating system, okay?
Ugh.
Mike doesn't like it.
I got a good one.
What if the rating that I give you is the one that you wanted to do?
Okay, fine.
So, Chris, we are going to start with you, and for the rating system for you, I have selected 1 out of 100 peekaboo Mysterio flying saucers with omnidirectional laser turret action.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
My quick take pretty much sums it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to like about this movie.
Maybe I was wrong.
I'm not even going to go into why. I mean, it's just... Like, I couldn't even, like, pay attention while watching it the first time. And the second time, I mean, totally tuned it out. I don't know what, it was just background noise. So, you know what? That'll raise my score. If you're watching this as, like, background noise, then your score might be a little higher. But I'm going to give this 24 UFOs with shoots and ladders and laser beams and
peek-a-boo,
whatever else.
Peekaboo mysterious flying saucers. With omnidirectional laser turret actions. And it's funny you mention that. It's funny you say that, Chris, because believe it or not, when I was living in Los Angeles and I had my my own apartment to myself, a lot of times if I needed to clean up, if somebody was coming over or anything like that, there was a couple times that I put on 1313 movies on the TV as I was cleaning. And you're absolutely right. Anything in the mansion does go very nicely if it's just in the background.
It does. It also might be good for clearing out people when they're overstaying their welcome at the parties. Ooh. Or after parties.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, as speaking as someone who was just very much cleared out, I agree.
they should have made you watch this movie instead of all that. Oh, wait, you did watch the movie. Never mind.
Jason Hulse. Now, I know that you liked that rating system.
I did.
But I would like to give you a rating system of 1 out of 100 Saturn rockets with realistic decals and one stage boosters.
All right. I'm just going to open up that package there. Just
yeah.
That open up that rating. There is one scenario I can think of where you would recommend this movie to somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's if you want to torture them. This movie is a weapon. And I have a few things to say about that. First of all, I am sorry to Monster Mash.
Wow.
I gave Monster Mash a 5.
Wow.
Okay. Monster Mash was just innocently, like, just not that great, okay? I see that now, okay? This movie makes me want to run screaming into the arms of the evil within.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, I was not into. Like, this is, there is so little going on. It's maddening. It is maddening how dry it is. And, like, they knew what they were doing when they made this. Like, this, sure. They didn't make this and go, what? This is boring? They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because I would rather watch Monster Mash or even The Evil Within, I am going to give this movie that my lowest score I have ever given a movie on this podcast. And
oh,
there might
God.
Be room for worse, but I couldn't think of what it is. So I'm going to give it 4.
Oh
my God!
Wow.
Saturn rockets.
Wow,
Paul, you said the scores were too high on this podcast lately, and mission accomplished. You
fixed it. Yep, absolutely.
God damn
okay,
it.
Okay, well, Michael, I don't think we're gonna get that low, but 1 out of 100 crude prototypes of an inexpensive self-propelled meteorological craft that can be easily replicated and has the potential to revolutionize climate data retrieval.
Have fun with that graphic, Mike.
I'm not making the goddamn graphic.
I'm making the graphic.
And it's going to get worse.
How am I going to fit all these long-ass ones? Like, it's not just one.
It'll be great.
We just layer them on top of each other.
I am looking forward to it.
I'd like to say that I'm amazed, and I love the fact that, Paul, you have given these 3, and I assume you have 1 for yourself, these beautiful gifts, where it's from a part of the movie we did not discuss. And when you brought it up, the other 2 boys who already did the rating did not mention what the fuck it was. I will continue that trend. Now, okay, David Dekatu is a renowned B-movie director. He has made some amazing 80s and 90s, like, schlock cheese camp stuff that is really fun and fantastic. And then he's got this 1313 series that is very less good, but its own weird beasts. And it's an enjoyable, interesting thing to experience.
Right.
This movie, under any circumstance, should not be watched. And here's why. Because there, if you're like, let me check out a David Dekatu movie, watch a different one. Literally a different Dekatu movie. This is a crime to watch this movie and to think this is something this man has done, because he has done so much better, even slightly better, like that.
The other thing is, Mike, he's been in the game for a long time, so he has stuff from like the 80s and 90s that are like way better.
Oh, yeah.
He started with Charles Band and shit. Like, he's got, like, so much good shit. Dr. Alien, we watched it at the marathon. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All this, we love him. Talking Cat is one of those super bad ones that is very fun to watch.
Right.
Stuff like that. This isn't that. If you are coming into this movie, watch a different Descartes movie. One, watch a different Descartes movie, and then what's the rest of my rating, Paul?
1 out of 100 crude prototypes of an inexpensive self-propelled meteorological craft that can be easily replicated and has the potential to revolutionize climate data retrieval.
Yes. So 1 asterisk, watch a different Descartes movie, and then that is
what?
My rating.
No. One?
What?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Wow.
Don't watch this movie. Watch a different Descartes movie.
So, Mike, so you're saying,
oh God,
don't watch this movie, even if you are a Descartes completist. Don't
no, also
movie.
Don't. No,
this is,
don't.
Mary Crawford is listed, so you don't. You can get away with
you
it.
You can skip it.
But no, Mike is right.
You'd skip a Talking Cat then, too.
Watch a different one.
Yes, Mike is absolutely right. Like, if you want to watch a holiday movie, watch a different one. You want to watch something with older action stars, watch a different one. There's no reason unless you're trying to be mean to somebody.
Wow. Awful.
Wow.
Bad.
Paul, explain yourself.
Unbelievable.
Paul, you are on the naughty list now.
The explanation is, this is what I wanted.
Yeah.
I wanted really low scores.
Yeah.
Because it's been a great season so far with lots of really good stuff, you know. I'll knock you boys down a
God
lot.
Damn it.
I don't blame you.
Let's bring it down a notch.
Look, I'm not going to disagree with anything you guys are saying, but I do think that there are some very fun, kind of charming moments in the film. I think...
What? Did you watch?
Look, I think Chris
did you
Mitchum.
Hear, listeners, did you hear any of them when we discussed this?
Did you watch the Riff Tracks version, Paul? Maybe that one's good.
No, I didn't. I sat through this thing twice, and I think that Christopher Mitchum and Cynthia Rothrock make a great couple. I think they got some nice chemistry together.
You are a masochist.
I think just the fact that I have seen so many 1313 movies. This is a kind of a different spin on stuff going on in the mansion, and it's
different spin on
to
the
me
mansion.
To me almost like a nice tribute, you know, to the memory of 1313 Mansion.
What? But it's a family film. It's
exactly. It's just a feel good, light, you know, just put it on and get the family together.
At no point did anyone feel good.
I am going to go with 44 Driftwood stripper boots.
Wow.
And that's not a good score, but Christ.
No, but it's higher than ever the three of us combined.
I thought I was being generous by going with 24.
Yeah.
You were
being generous. I still think that makes it the lowest that we've ever rated, though.
It's honestly, okay, so there's a lot of bad movies. They're Star Wars Holiday Specials, horseshit garbage.
Oh, come
on. But there's a reason to watch it. There's a weirdness of it that's this Christmas thing. There's a thing with it. This has nothing going for it.
I agree. Totally. Totally
there's
agree.
There's just nothing interesting about it. It's just weird, you know, in that sense, you know.
All right. I was hoping I could make it all the way through, but I have to get up one more time. So Cringe Crinkle, if you could just pop in one more time,
we appreciate
you being here. And you know what? Would you like to give this movie a rating real quick?
Yes. Oh, thank you for bringing me in again. This is. Oh, I have to make a joke up now.
Well, Cringe Crinkle, I could cover with one last. What would make this dumb movie better?
Oh, yes, this is my favorite. Here's what I rate it. I'm going to rate Chris Hudson's mind-bending, show-stopping bit 100, Season Screaming.
Yes.
So right, please.
This is Season Screaming's miracle.
Yes. Let me get my dog tobacco real quick so I could get it in here and chew on it while I listen to your beautiful voice.
Speaking of Season Screaming's miracle, what would make this dumb movie better if Pop were played by the dad from A Karate Christmas Miracle and this explained his disappearance?
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite Christmas movies. It's actually a movie.
And if Andy was played by Arthur from Ben and Arthur, that'd be pretty great.
That'd be great. Do you guys think Paul's just dropping a real wet one?
Oh. I don't see how he couldn't be.
I think it's probably looks a lot like what's floating in the Malort there. Cringe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a little bit of the Nogbacco in there. Wait. Oh, excuse
is
me.
Is this how Malort is made? Is Paul making Malort right now?
Malort is made from people.
People!
Malort is a creaming's miracle. It is that delicious thing. Oh!
All right, what happened? What happened?
All right, I'm gonna go now. Bye. Oh, season's creaming!
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania,
our next film is a hard-hitting drama. Nora wanted more than anything to be a TV star, but she gets more than she bargains for when she allows a motley group of chickens, led by a sociopath, Charlie Chicken, and lets them invade her home, manipulate her emotions, and drag her and her boyfriend into the desert.
The fuck are
we
you
are going
about?
To watch a movie called Bad Chicken.
What?
All of the characters in the film, all the characters in the film are human, except three characters that are chicken puppets.
What?
It's played completely straight. Everyone treats them like they're real chickens, but they're puppets. And it's actually kind of intense.
This is a movie, if I'm not mistaken, that you watched recently and immediately said it's going in.
Yep, immediately. Wow. I found this movie and I was so excited to watch this with you guys.
Wow.
It is available on Tubi.
Okay.
Bad Chicken, 2013.
Wow.
I'm starting it tonight after this. Fuck that. That sounds amazing. I need a palate cleanser so hard.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us on our first ever Christmas in July special. We hope that you are having a very festive but safe holiday season. There's probably still some bad stuff going on out there. So if you're going to get some sparklers or anything like that, you know, do it safely. Don't get yourself into a bad hospitalized situation. You know what I mean? COVID is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it can still happen.
Or fireworks. I mean, I'm thinking fireworks or war zones.
Instead, stay in. Give us a nice rating on your favorite podcasting service.
Yeah, just spend your holiday sprousing store.bmoviemania.com. And maybe find yourself a nice, beautiful shirt.
Yeah. What's more American than spending a little money?
Capitalism, baby.
Think we'll have a cringe crinkle shirt up by this time?
Oh, shit.
I bet we will.
In the spirit of this movie, if we can find some good Christmas clip art for that shirt, I'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
If you guys are done on B-Movie Mania, store.bmoviemania.com, what you can also do, if you want, on actual 4th of July night is do what I did a couple years ago and watch WCW Greed, the last ever WCW pay-per-view. Paul, cut this out.
If you're done on store.bmoviemania.com, maybe pop over to Bandcamp where you can get the special holiday classic that I sang about Oh Come All Ye Maniacs.
Oh,
you can still buy it for any price you want.
Yeah,
it's
I think that's on YouTube too. But give us money.
Yeah, go to Bandcamp. Then you can download it and own it forever because it's on Bandcamp, which is a great way to do it.
Good night, everybody, and we will leave you with Chris versus Cringe Crinkle trying to figure out who can say ho, ho, ho the best.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Oh, I love me a good Christmas battle.
We call them ho-offs, where I come from.
Yeah, a ho-off. Give us a good ho-off, Chris.
Ho, 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 horrible!
That's a nice try there, crazy boy. But, let me just get a bit of my swig here and I'll take you on.
There's a cigarette butt floating in it.
I'll save that for later. Season's creamings!